Good morning and welcome to the Preventing Grace podcast for May 11th, 2020. This is actually probably going to be pretty short because our neighbor, it's late, but it's also short. Our neighbor decided to cut down a tree starting at 8 o'clock this morning.
It's great.
And it's quiet right now, but
there's this big wood shredder that sounds like a...
I don't know what it sounds like, but yeah, maybe unless they've actually cut down the whole tree. Do you think they cut it all the way down?
No, they were.
It's a huge tree.
Yeah.
I think they're going to be at it for a while. So we are just here to say, you know, a couple of things like, hey, how are you? Happy Mother's Day. And also the person who I don't know if it was actually the inventor of Festivus, died over the weekend. So we thought in honor of him, maybe we could air our grievances against
people
each other.
May not know what Festivus is. You should say what Festivus is.
I mean it. There it is. So we'll see. Festivus is a festival for the rest of us.
Yeah, it's a Seinfeld episode when, was it Christmas or was it during Easter?
It's like Thanksgiving, I think.
Something where one of their dads, who's dad?
The short guy, yeah. Short bald guy. Can't remember anybody's name. Yeah, it's been a long time.
It didn't want to participate in the holiday, so decided
he to made his own.
Called Festivus.
He hung up his, or he set up his pole.
Festivus pole.
And then aired his grievances.
Well, there's a ritual to it. Like on Thanksgiving, you sit around your table and you, I don't know, talk about religion and politics and hate each other. But in Festivus, you sit around the table and you air your grievances against each other. So you wait.
You save them up.
You save them up all year.
Rand Paul does it on Twitter on Festivus every year. Yeah. He's great.
I wonder if he's going to be tweeting things in honor of the death of this guy.
So I didn't know that that person was related to the other actor whose name I've forgotten. He was the father of another funny person. The Zoolander guy. Mm. It was his dad. Mm-hmm. Died. I'm up on my whatever that's called culture. Well, anyway, no, we have three things. Quick. Happy Mother's Day. Did you want to say anything cool about your mom?
Was that going to be first or was that going to be second?
Oh, I don't know. Did you want to do Festivus? Let's air our grievances first. Okay, what's your grievance?
I mean, I have a lot of grievances. Can we only list?
You can have
just one grievance?
I mean, it's got to be quick. Like the grievance against our neighbor who's cutting down the street right now. Maybe we should go over and tell them how we feel. 8 o'clock on a Monday morning.
Mike, I have several grievances.
Okay.
That I'm going to air.
Okay.
And it has to do with you.
Okay.
And the way you've arranged our household life. Because I enjoy the living room. And I want to be down there sitting and reading in the evenings with my family gathered around. And you hate the living room. And part of the reason you hate the living room is because you have turned that living room into the reading study place, and there's books shoved everywhere, and it's out of order. It's not a nice place to sit because you have made it that way. So I want to sit down there in the living room in the evenings and enjoy nice family time, and you resist and go upstairs to this attic where I don't want to be up here. I feel like I haven't been. Living my life because I'm up here all the time doing my work. This is my office.
I thought this was going to be funnier than it is.
Oh. Oh, I thought you were going to be serious.
Yeah, real grievances. Do I get to answer back the grievance or does it just get aired?
I don't know. I'm not sure.
Okay, well, I have a grievance then. Okay. My grievance is that the lighting in the living room is garbage and you insist on pulling that light into the middle and sitting there. And you don't care that, like, everything's disordered. And where are people supposed to study?
They're supposed to study in somewhere else.
There's nowhere else.
They can go somewhere
else. There is nowhere else.
They can go to They can go outside. They can go into the basement.
They can't go outside when it's snowing in May, which is one of my grievances. The snow.
Yeah, it's horrible.
A grievance against God. Okay, well then for Mother's Day, let's rearrange the living room again so I can sit in there with you and we can be together.
I hate rearranging the living room. It's perfect now. It's perfect. This is the arrangement that I've always longed for and wanted.
Well, why does
this,
it look so
this arrangement
trashy
makes
then?
My heart sing.
Oh my gosh. It looks so trashy. If you want me to sit in there, you'll be more hospitable about it. Okay, is that your...
That's my grievance.
That's your grievance.
You asked me for a grievance, and that's right.
Yeah,
I
yeah, okay.
That's all I could think of.
That's all you could think of? I feel like you could probably think of more, but I don't want you to right now. My grievance, besides this noise, which I trust everyone can hear, even though our window is shut tight, is that... Okay, well, I have a grievance against the cosmos, and I am still working on this wretched book, and I am making a public announcement again that, yes, last week, from, like, Thursday on, I kind of went dark, and you'll notice that if you tried to message me, it just didn't answer. It didn't do any email, and through the weekend, and I'm going to try to answer messages today, but then I'm going to go back offline again. Because somehow, I guess this is God's fault. I haven't been given a brain that can move fast enough through this book. And the Bible, incidentally, I've come to the conclusion, isn't that interesting.
What?
And you probably shouldn't read it.
What?
Especially not like that quickly and then try to write a lot of stuff about it. You shouldn't try to
write through. It's not that interesting.
Ezekiel all the way to Malachi in like 2 days because it's after about 15 minutes. It all sounds.
I think
the
you should
same.
Repent right now.
And it's
just because
it's, so
it's like
awful.
You know what that's like. It's like me liking Thomas Kincaid because the Bible is objectively interesting, and that you don't find it interesting.
Okay, well,
doesn't mean it's not interesting.
All right,
that just
well,
means you're a pagan.
You should just not. Okay, well, don't read it the way I'm reading it then, which is, like, searching about for anything to say.
I can't believe you said the Bible. Your whole blogging career
you know,
is built on trying to go read the Bible.
I feel like it's such a sham now, and I'm ready to give up. I'm totally going to just give up and, like, go sit in a hole.
You're a heretic.
That's where I am now. I don't know whose fault that is, but I'm airing it. It's a grievance that I have. That and the snow. Also, my children, I'd like to take this opportunity to complain about one reason why I'm doing such a bad job and it's taking so long is that they get a rotation going. And so in a 2 hour period, I'll be interrupted by the children upwards of like 30 times because they each come to ask me sometimes the same question. So if six people come to ask you the same question because they won't talk to each other. That's my grievance. Just took some time. No one in this household talks to anyone.
You should lock the door.
Everyone just talks to me. And then I'm expected to relay that information to each. So your children will walk past you and come. And you're sitting in the room. And they'll say to me, can Daddy read tonight? Is Daddy going to the store? Can I use Daddy's lip balm?
You're like,
is
the, you're
Daddy
like the,
making lunch? And I'm sitting
you're the mediatrix
right
of our
there.
You're like the Mary, and I'm like the Jesus.
Oh my word. Well, I'm not the Mary. So now I've started screaming. Like, if you come in to where I work and I see you from the door, I'll start like shrieking, what do you want? Ask your father. And then my children, you know, well, they won't talk to each other. They'll come up and say, Mommy, can you tell Gwendolyn to XYZ, whatever. It's horrible. So anyway.
You should lock the door.
Yeah, but well, you know what happens then? The dog sits either on one side or the other of the door. If he's locked in, and he will sit either outside the door or inside the door and cry. And I can hear him. And then the children will knock on the door repeatedly to say,
you
can we let the dog in? No, because I can't think. I can't hear the noise. I can't. Tell them not, and then they won't do it because we told them.
This is another.
We told them.
I just have one more grievance. Like, there's a readily available answer to a problem. Like, you'll wake up with a headache, and you'll roll over like an agony with your headache. And I'll say, "Sweetheart, why don't you take some ibuprofen?" And you look at me like I'm strange. like it's weird to take medicine when you're sick. Like, you wouldn't want to take something to help your headache go away.
I mean, sometimes I just need it like a hot bath. I don't need to take an ibuprofen. So I have to try that first.
Why don't you do both?
I might not need both. I don't just willy-nilly take a lot of stuff.
Ibuprofen's fine. Take it.
I don't need it all the time.
If you have a headache, you need it. If you have a pain, that's why God made ibuprofen.
Did he make it?
Yes.
Oh, look, on our thing here, you can tell when the sound from the outside happens because it's like this huge,
wacko noise. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, so we're done with the grievances?
I guess for today, but I feel like this could be a segment.
A segment.
Like a weekly segment. The airing of the... Okay, so I'd like to say a good thing about my mom because it's Mother's Day. And my mom is here. And then you can say something good about your mom. For Mother's Day. My mother helped Francis along for months. Well, I guess it wasn't months, but it felt like a long time. And nurse, she's the apostle to the cats. That's actually what people in Africa have called her. Like, she could have a cat hospice, and she knows intuitively what a cat is feeling and desiring. And she filled a hot water bottle for the cat over and over again, like all through the day, and like moved it around and gave it nice things to eat. And that was really great. And while she did that, she kept all the dishes going. But actually, probably the thing that is most amazing about my mother right this minute is that she's trying to read my book. And it's pretty awful. So she needs thoughts and prayers. People should send her thoughts and prayers because it's such a terrible thing to have to do. And she's making masks. I feel really inadequate as I'm saying all this.
She has upped the productivity of the house.
Yeah. We all have no reason not to work now. Like, I can't blame my unproductivity on the fact that I need to go do laundry.
Or wash, or lunch, or whatever it might be.
Yeah, together. There's no reason. I had to clean my own desk because there was nothing else for me to do. I guess maybe I could clean the cars. I could clean the garage instead of writing. Anyway, she and my dad are really helpful in the household. Okay,
I feel like I told anyone that when I was my mom became a Christian when she was, I think, in her 20s, young. I was 3 years old. Maybe just before she was getting to be 30, because they waited 5 years before they had kids. But it was in Corpus Christi, and my mom was not a believer. And our next door, we were living in an apartment. My dad was just starting out as a lawyer. And so a woman who lived next door to us knocked on the door with a big black King James Bible and wanted to know if my mother was saved or not.
We should do that.
And my mother, we should do that. And my mom invited her in, and she opened up her Bible. Like, I don't know, I imagine she led my mom through the Romans Road thing, I guess. But my mom received the Lord that day. She became a Christian. And that changed our whole family, because it's because of that I'm a Christian, I think. I didn't believe. I was three at the time. She put me in David Wick's Episcopal Day School, or what it was. I started going to school there and went to, we started going to church there. And it was, back then it was, now all things Episcopal Church is kind of wacko, wacko liberal. But then it was a kind of standard run-of-the-mill Episcopal Church where you could hear the gospel, and it was basically traditional. But I was raised in the church, she was clearly growing up probably the only one who really believed in Jesus. I couldn't see that very clearly, but looking back, that's the way it was. But my dad and my mom, they just go to church every Sunday. And then when I went to college and I went through my atheist stage, my agnostic stage, my platonic theistic stage. She kept sending me, I know she was praying for me every day. She sent me books. She was very much wanting me to be a Christian. And the moment I became a Christian was because I heard a sermon on the radio. But I think it was by her prayers that I heard that sermon.
She's the Monica to your Saint Augustine.
I'm not saying anything by any stretch, but she's like Monica, definitely. I'm a Christian because of her and her prayers. So thank you, Mom.
Nice. I feel pretty garbage now. My mother also is the reason that I'm a Christian. I was also born a Christian.
You never went through a period of not being a Christian.
No, I didn't really. I'm just overall better than you. I didn't go through the agnostic and the atheist and the all those things.
It is interesting, our relationship, because I see things through the eyes of a convert, and you see things through the eyes of somebody who doesn't remember never being a Christian. And so there's often aspects of my life that you think are like incredibly pagan.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like you're so wicked. Once you start airing grievances, it's really hard to stop.
There's a thing again.
There's a thing. Okay, so I think we should just, this needs to end because I need to get to work. But we should have one way to cope when you look at the news this morning and discover that your state or city is not going to be opening up until July or September or next year. How can you not descend into total mind-blowing depression and ennui and like just go eat all the sugar donuts in the pastry aisle? Any ideas? I'm actually asking for a friend.
I mean, honestly,
you really like this.
It's hard for me to get into the mindset of that.
It's so terrible.
I don't feel bad at all. Like if they told me I had to stay in my house for the next 2 years.
You're so wicked.
That's great.
You are so wicked.
I have a lot of things to read. I have bookshelves full of books I haven't read yet. And I have...
You're reading Dune.
Yeah, I'm reading Dune but for pleasure.
Yeah, is it? I mean, it's weird. How obsessed you are.
Yeah, I love it. It's really good. So, anyway, I haven't read it before. I saw a movie in the 80s and I thought the movie was weird, but now I can see why I thought the movie was weird, because it's hard, it would be hard to make Dune.
Into a movie especially in the 80s?
Especially in the 80s, yeah. But they're doing it, and then the movie's coming out. Anyway, that's beside the point.
You are not allowed to talk about Dune.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I would say what's always made me happy living by myself is I have a routine. And I do the same thing every day at the same times. And I usually eat the same thing. If I weren't married, I would eat the same thing every day.
Oh, my gosh.
And that routine, so I get up in the morning, I exercise. I'm sorry, I get up in the morning, I pray, I read my Bible, I exercise. I study. I go to lunch, I study, I write, and then in the evening, if I don't have a Bible study or something, I read. And I find in the discipline and the order there, comfort.
Okay, and that's great because nobody interrupts you while you're doing all those things. Yeah.
So would you like, are you going
to? Oh, okay, what's some...
Because I don't have any, I mean, all I have to say is just access prayer and Bible study and order your life in an ordered way so you find some kind of, you're not just like floating around without any kind of purpose.
Yeah, you need a routine. You need to eat proper meals at proper times, not graze. I would say that's true. When I graze through the day because I'm sad, I feel even more sad. I would say that it's important not to play mind games with yourself and other people. Like, if you think that if you're feeling lonely, even though it's probably really painful to actually do it, you should write someone or call someone and say, I'm not doing okay. Even if you, like, I know it's almost physically painful to do that when you aren't, when you are really lonely or you're really just melting down. But it's, you should do it anyway. And even if that person doesn't get back to you right away, which now I feel really guilty because I think I'm like trying to unplug so I can work. But even if that person doesn't get back to you right away, it doesn't mean they don't love you, and they will get back to you. And then you could write another person, like, don't isolate for real if you're feeling depressed. And it's totally fine. I keep hearing people saying, well, I have it so much better than everyone. You know, like, I live in a comfortable house and I'm actually physically okay. And look, like, you know, India is exploding with coronavirus and that's terrible. Like, people have it so much worse than me. That's true. That's true. But that's also kind of irrelevant. Like,
yeah,
it's kind of like, you know, you eating all the food on your plate because there are people starving in Ethiopia. Like, you're not going to send the food to those people. Don't overeat because somebody else is starving. Don't refuse to face the fact that you're not okay because other people are not okay. Okay, so you're rich. You have everything you need. It's okay. You can still melt down. You can still be poor in spirit. In fact, you should be poor in spirit because then you can enter the kingdom of God. Poor people are also poor in spirit and they also can enter the kingdom. Mm-hmm. If you're really not okay, that's good. Go to God and go to other people and say, I'm not okay. God doesn't actually, being rich isn't actually an impediment to entering the kingdom of God, unless you refuse to humble yourself and say, I'm not okay. Mm-hmm. So, it may be that your suffering is meant to draw you closer to Jesus. So you should go to him.
Yeah. I mean, it is a good time to.
Even if you're a millionaire, you can still not be. Look at Mark Zuckerberg. Wouldn't it be great? He's clearly not okay. Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if he went to somebody and said, I'm actually not okay. Can I get some help here? And God would probably be like, man, I've been waiting for this moment. And you're not Mark Zuckerberg, so right. You can totally melt down. Go to other people and to God for help if you're melting down. That's my advice.
I agree.
Don't
read your Bible because that's not interesting.
Okay, well, here's a little pro tip. Don't read Isaiah through Malachi if you're clinically depressed right now. Go ahead and read the Gospels. Don't read the book of Revelation. Don't read Leviticus. I mean, of course, all of it's God's words.
So. I will say it does frustrate me when.
Are you about to have a grievance against?
This is against new believers.
Oh, good. That seems important.
So here's my grievance. So you come to faith in Jesus Christ. You're really excited, and so you first thing you want to do is read your Bible, which is great. So you start off in Genesis and you start...
like our children. Yes. Our children read Genesis over and over and over again.
They can't get past it. So you and then, you know, you start slowing down the latter part of Exodus where all the furniture and the tabernacle is being described. Ugh. And then
the sacrifice.
And then the Leviticus hits and you throw it away. You just can't do it. Okay. And so I tell every new believer, okay, here's how you want to read your Bible. You want to start off in Genesis two chapters in the Old Testament, starting in Genesis. One chapter in the Gospels, beginning with Matthew.
And a Psalm.
And just two chapter and one chapter in the New Testament after the Gospels, beginning with Acts, and going all the way to Revelation. So you just do those three cycles every day. So you're reading four chapters a day. I do my Psalms.
And a Psalm.
I do the Psalms and I do morning prayer. So,
okay, well, not everybody. Well, I'm saying
that's another pet peeve. They should be doing morning prayer.
Add in okay. A Psalm.
Yeah. So anyway, so that way, when you get the rough parts in Exodus, you're also in, say, Luke or a romance. You're not, you can balance that off and not have your whole spiritual feeding that day rest on whether or not the, how many cubits the Ark of the Covenant is, and whether it, where they made of acacia wood, and how it's, so you have balance. And also the Old New Testament helps you recognize what's going on in the Old Testament. So you have to do those things. I'm sorry. I that was
also
way off topic. Now we're just kind of rambling.
Now we're just rambling. Wait, I have another piece of advice. What, don't make the Bible the treat that you give yourself. Like, treat yourself for reading the Bible.
What?
I know.
See, you're,
I know.
You are today, you are making like the most pagan Bible things.
Okay, I'm just saying, like, if you think you have to have all of your life in order to begin reading the Bible, that's really bad. You should go ahead and read it.
That's right.
And then, you know, when you read it, treat yourself for reading it. Like, give yourself a chocolate for reading it.
Okay.
Don't feel like you have to get your house clean before you can read your Bible.
Right. Right.
That's what I'm saying.
Yes, because the Bible is the way
you that cope, you eventually.
Not
the yes,
way, not your.
It's not the. It's not a treat, or it's not something you can have like
when everything's
when
done.
Everything else is done. Ask me how I know. Okay, well, we've gone a half an hour, which I'm sorry is so short, but we have this tree. We have to go and look at the tree being cut down, and I have to finish. I'm going to finish my book today. I'm just kidding. I'm going to try. And I'm going to yell at everybody while I'm doing it, which means a lot of sinning for me. And hopefully we'll be back next week. I mean, I really hope. Who knows? Thanks for listening.